Around the world, wherever American servicemen and women are stationed, it's game time. Time for Sports Quiz. Welcome, everybody, to Sports Quiz, the lively question bout between the fans and the experts. Questions from men and women in service, answers from a quartet of famous sports authorities. And here's the GI who'll referee the match, the fifth man in the ring, Sergeant Mel Allen.
And hello, everybody. Four of the most colorful figures in boxing are ready to deal a body blow to the questions from overseas, and it looks like the main event tonight will really be a honey. Our festive foursome will try, as usual, to meet the challenge of the fans by answering their sports questions. And they'll also be divided into two teams, the red and the blue, which will endeavor to outpoint each other by coming up with the most correct replies. And now for the main event. In the corner to my left, wearing red, that highly regarded heavyweight in the journalistic world, quarrelsome Caswell Adams, and his teammate, one of the ring's greatest champions, the toy bulldog, Mickey Walker. In the corner to my right, wearing blue, the classy creator of Joe Palooka, that terrifically popular champion of the comic strips, Ham Fisher, and his running mate, the always colorful and game veteran of the ring, two-ton Tony himself, Tony Galletto. This match will, of course, be conducted, gentlemen, under the rules laid down by the Marquis of Queensbury, with a few of our own added to make sure that you don't come into the ring with any record books or answers scribbled on your cuffs. All questions have a point value fair to both sides. Each team receives credit for as much of the question as it answers. Now, if you fail to answer a question correctly, I ring the bell on you like this, and the question is then thrown to the other team for an opportunity to pick up extra points. The team which winds up with the highest total of points is, of course, declared the winner. And the prize is, well, just that good old-fashioned pride in winning. All right, gentlemen, shake hands and come out fighting. Coming out for the first round is the team of Cass Adams and Mickey Walker. Private First Class Norman Kahn in the European Theater of Operations wants you gentlemen to spar around with this easy quizzer. Identify the following terms with their correct sport. This is a six-point question. Six parts to it. 1 point for each part, of course. Killer. Identify these terms with their correct sport. Mr. Adams?
Well, killer could be in squash, or tennis, or in boxing.
All right, or handball.
Or handball.
Fine. All right, ace. Mr. Adams?
Ace could be in tennis, or Ace Adams in baseball.
That's right. Well,
a giant pitcher, very
this
good.
This doesn't deal in personalities, only with...
No relation of mine, but a nice fellow.
Yes. He'll take up our time.
There are some nice fellows around by the name of Adams.
Name two.
Ace Adams. And his brother, Deuce.
I don't get it.
We'll wait for you. Gainer. With what sport is that term identified?
That's in diving. That's right. Very good. You off the high board and you turn over once and bing. That's a gainer. There's a half gainer and a full gainer.
That's right. I should advise you against either.
Tony, he's giving them all the easy ones.
Can you do a gainer?
Janet.
Oh, Mr. Fisher, please.
I get that, too.
Well, as long as you're talking about that, kiss. With what sport is kiss? Mind you, I said sport. Don't go romantic on it.
Well, boxing, I think.
Boxing, Mr. Walker? What do you say about that teammate, Adams?
Well, a kiss would not exactly be in boxing. A kiss would be in,
a turn kissed on the chin, no. Or hitting the kisser.
Hitting the kissers, all right. Well, you were just talking about diving a moment ago, Mr. Adams. What would you dive into?
Pool.
Well,
I hope.
This kiss,
this is lucky.
No. Well, you still win the point. Don't give him a chance to utter a sound.
I'm still not satisfied.
Kiss would be in billiards.
All right, billiards. That's what I want you to say. All right.
There's no such game as pool anymore. It's pocket billiards.
Oh, pocket billiards. All right.
Croquet.
Well, where I go, we still call it pool.
A misspent life.
What about love?
Love is in tennis.
That's in tennis. That's right. We'll hold it there. Sacrifice.
sacrifice would be in baseball.
Absolutely right, and 6 points for the team of Cass Adams and Mickey Walker. Now let's turn to Ham Fisher and Tony Galanto. Corporal Keith Thompson, also of the European Theater of Operations, wants you gentlemen to punch the bag a bit by telling us what sport you think of when you hear the following expressions. First, chucker.
Polo.
Polo, that's right, Mr. Fisher. Stymie.
Beer.
That's golf.
Stymie's beer.
A stymie of beer, yes. Golf, Mel.
Tony's looking at that joint of his overdoing.
We didn't say stymie. That'd be a small beer problem. Stymie, golf, that's right. Football.
What's that?
Football.
A football in tennis.
Right. Incidentally, this is a 6-point question, too. Squeeze play.
Well, that could be, squeeze play could be, well, it would mostly be baseball.
That's right, Ham, it would be baseball. What about this one? Faint, F-E-I-N-T.
Take it, Mr. Galanto.
Faint when you faint a fighter.
That's right.
As if Galanto knew anything about that. Sick of telling
you. I'll murder the bum.
All right, safety. Safety.
Got it. Football.
Football, that's right. 2 points in football and 6 points for the team of Fisher and Galanto. Well, you gentlemen all came through the first round, all right. Now round two. And the contestants seem to be as fresh as they can be. And apparently, from what we've observed so far, they can be as fresh as they want to. Perhaps they will want to when they get an earful of their next challenge. Adams and Walker. Sergeant Carl New of the Pacific reminds us that there were five fighters against whom Jack Dempsey successfully defended his heavyweight title. And your task, gentlemen, is to name those five men against whom Jack Dempsey successfully defended his
title. All the easy ones you give them.
Mickey, I think you'll know this one.
Well, there was Tommy Gibbons, Bill Brennan, Louis Furpo, George Carpentier. And, in fact, I don't know if Carpentier would be held as a title match because that was fought in Jersey. Of course, he was in defense of his title. But I think it was no decision in those days in Jersey. I don't know if you'd consider that a defense of the title.
We'll accept
not.
That one, Mr. Walker.
There was one more now. Gene Tunney.
Furpo. Successfully defend his heavyweight title against Tunney.
Well, I mentioned Furpo.
You mentioned Brennan, Carpentier, Gibbons, and Furpo. Now, there's one other. As a matter of fact, I believe it's the very first one he defended his title against. Mr. Adams?
Fellow named Billy Miskey.
Billy Miskey.
Benton Harbor.
What's the matter with Jack Sharkey?
He never defended. He lost his championship before he fought Sharkey, Mr. Fisher.
Well, I didn't even talk.
He fought him in July of 1926.
Get him in your stomach, Tony.
Seven, and he lost the title in September 1926. No wonder Palooka.
Well,
go ahead. You can't lick Palooka.
You couldn't lick Dempsey in those days.
Well, at any rate, you have 5 points for answering that question correctly. To digress just for a moment, whom did Dempsey win his title from?
Jess Willard.
And to
Toledo, Ohio.
And after having defended it successfully against the five men you just mentioned, Billy Miskey, Bill Brennan, George Carpentier, Tommy Gibbons, and Louis Furpo, to whom did he lose the title?
Well, you mentioned that one before, Kaz. Gene Tunney.
Gene Tunney, that's right. All right, five.
Mel, as a matter of fact, he fought Brennan twice. Once outdoors and once indoors in the old garden.
Well, not when he was champion, though, Kaz. He fought Brennan. He did fight twice, but the first fight was
the 12th round in the old garden.
Well, that was before he was champion, his first fight with Bill Brennan. The only defense of the title, he fought Brennan once in the old garden. That was defense of the title.
I bow to old age.
Thanks very much for that interesting added information. Moving over now to the team of Ham Fisher and Tony Galanto again. Corporal Rolla Lang of the CBI is anxious to see how quickly he can respond to certain names familiar in the world of boxing. I'll give you the names, and you tell me why these names are significant in the world of boxing. And, in other words, to what these names refer. It's a 5-point question, 5 parts to it. Jacobs Beach.
Take it, Tony.
Tony?
Boyle Study Acres.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Boom.
Jacobs Beach.
The manager's around Jacobs' office.
That's
46th
right.
Street.
49th.
49th, 49th.
Brill building is better.
Right, so, that's better. It's where all the fight fans and people connected to the fight game gather to to have their little discussions and play a game of pinochle now and then.
Clifton George Bernard Glenda.
All right, Madam Bay.
Training camp in Summit, New Jersey.
Did you ever train there, Tony?
Well, I trained there during the day, but I went home at night.
What about Stillman's?
That is another gymnasium, very popular place in New York on 7th Avenue.
8th Avenue.
8th Avenue. That's a Stillman Gymnasium, very good, popular gym.
Did you ever train there, Tony?
Well, I train there, too, but...
Went home nights.
All right, you mentioned Boyle's 30 acres a little while ago. What is that in the world of boxing?
That's where Jack Dempsey fought
Carpentier.
That's right.
Carpentier.
Give that little French twist.
This is examination week for Fisher.
All right, then the last one, Pompton Lakes.
That's where Joe Louis trained for his fight with some popular heavyweight champion fights.
That's right, and...
And he fought me there. That's where he trained for me, too.
He did? It must be a pretty good place to train.
But listen, I can lick the bum.
Oh, wait, listen.
I want to fight the guy again for the boys in service, for nothing. I want to give all my purse to them if he'll fight me again.
Look out, he may be listening in.
I hope you're listening, you big bum. And that goes for Ham Fisher, who's sitting next to me. He had me down as Belanke. I can lick that bum, too, Palooka.
Is that right, Ham? Is
he's sitting next to me. I don't want to say
anything. Oh, you don't want to say anything, too.
And he's got glasses on, too.
And he outweighs you, Ham, too.
And he's younger.
All right, that's 5 points for the team of Fisher and Galanto. We'll talk to you a little bit more about that challenge that you just issued, Tony. But we're going to move along now back to the team of Adams and Walker. Gentlemen, your protagonist this time is Private Leonard Bogatch of the Central Pacific. Your question is divided into two parts. It's a six-pointer. The first part of it, name two boxers who, in the course of their careers, won three titles. Mr. Adams.
You know that, Mickey?
Yes, Henry Armstrong was one, and Bob Fitzsimmons was the other.
All right, what titles did Henry Armstrong hold, do you remember?
Featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight.
That's right. And Bob Fitzsimmons?
Heavyweight, light heavyweight, and middleweight.
That's right.
Incidentally, can I put in the...
Right, Cass.
That Armstrong won the featherweight and then the welterweight and then went back to win the lightweight in the middle.
And he held all three crowns simultaneously.
Simultaneously. He was the only fellow that did that.
Fitzsimmons didn't hold all his three crowns at the same time. All right. Part two. Just name me one boxer who held two championships. Anyone?
Well, that's... go ahead.
Go ahead.
As you, that's simple. I mean, held two, Kaz, but in fact I held three. We never claimed the light heavyweight title when I beat Mike McTeague for it in 1924. The title was a dead issue at that time, and... Of course, it didn't become popular until Berlenbach, Delaney, and a group of great light heavyweights came in the picture. Then it became a very popular title. But we won in 1924, and I was still welterweight champion. We never put claim to it. We went along as welterweight champion.
Who'd you win your welterweight champion from?
Jack Britton.
Jack Britton.
1922. And by the way, he was a great boxer, Jack.
Did you ever fight John L. Sullivan, Mickey?
No. He fought Paddy Ryan, who lost to Sullivan.
Who'd you win your medal? There's the whistle establishing the halfway mark, gentlemen. And as we head now into the last round, gentlemen, the score stands 17-11 in favor of the Adams-Walker team against Galanto and Fisher. But that's because they've had one more opportunity to answer a question than have the opposition. But you'll have a chance to make up for that now, Tony and Ham.
Tell them not to talk so much over there.
All right, fine. Ham Fisher and Tony Galanto are two men who really do get around in boxing circles. And to keep them happy, we're going to keep them going around in circles right now.
Cycles,
gentlemen. Suppose you're giving a dinner... And the following men attended. Would you establish them as far as their identity is concerned? Arthur Donovan.
Take it, Tony. You know him.
Arthur Donovan? He's a referee.
You ever run up against him?
Yeah, he helped punch me when Lewis was... when my eye couldn't see him. Well, that's the way it felt anyway.
He helped punch you when you fought.
Well, my eyes are cut and I couldn't see, but I think Dunham was hit me too.
All right, he's a famous referee, that's right. Jeff Dixon.
Jeff was the promoter in Paris. He was in the last war. No. He was in Paris after the last war and started the Palais de Sport and, I can't think of the others.
Sal
Wagram. And Jeff was killed recently. He enlisted again in this war, way over age, and enlisted, went into intelligence, and was killed recently in a plane crash. That is before the German surrender.
Patsy Haley.
Should I take it, Charlie? Take it.
Yeah.
Patsy Haley's a referee, too. He was a fighter in the old days.
White hair.
Give me some easy questions. I don't want to answer. Let my stooge.
Yes, certainly.
Let my stooge.
Why, you bum.
Eddie Egan.
Eddie Egan is now head of the Boxing Commission, and Eddie was in the last war, and boxed Tunney overseas in Paris in the America or the Allied Olympics during right after the last war.
And a good commissioner, too.
Yeah, darn.
New Boxing Commissioner in the state of New York. And the last one, Nobby Walsh.
I'd never heard of him. Tony, who's that?
That's the bum that says that he can lick me, he licked Blanky. My name is Galento. I know about this Blanky business.
Well, Nobby Walsh, of course, is the manager of Joe Palooka, as drawn by Ham Fisher. And that's 6 points for the team of Ham Fisher and Tony Galento. All right. Adams and Walker up again. Private Tom Roberts in the European Theater of Operations would like to jab away with your kind permission. If he hits too hard, though, remember you have the privilege of slugging him back for the perfect answer to his pugnacious inquiry. It's a 3-part question concerning weights in boxing. The question is good for 6 points, 3 parts to it, 2 points for each part. First, if a champion is weighing in to defend his title, and he scales, shall we say, 1/4 pound over the weight limit, can he defend his crown at that weight?
Take it, Mickey. No, you take it. You're a
weight. No, he can't. Mel, he can't defend. He's over the weight.
That's right. The weight limit is as far as he can go. Well, what can he do? Suppose he weighs in during the afternoon of a fight as usual, and he's 1/4 pound over, or 1 pound, or whatever it might be.
Well, usually if that happens at fight time, they usually sweat out that 1/4 pound. Or if they want to put the fight on, he still won't take off that 1/4 pound. They can fight, but it's no title match.
Or he can run around the block and get in a phone booth, can he?
Well, or a steam room, either one.
All right. Second part of the question. Is there a limit to the weight that a heavyweight champion can carry into the ring when defending his title?
No, there isn't. There's no set weight for a heavyweight championship match.
Is that Tony Lucky?
Anything over 175 pounds is a heavyweight. Look at me.
Well, let's assume, just for the sake of argument, just for an interesting bit of discussion here, suppose there was a fellow that weighed about 150 pounds, but was built like steel and packed the greatest punch anybody ever packed, and he climbed into the ring with a genuine heavyweight, say a heavyweight champion, and belted him out and continued to belt over all heavyweights. Would he be considered a heavyweight champion?
If the fight was named for the heavyweight championship of the world, at the time he hit the champion on the chin, the 150-pound man would be heavyweight champion of the world.
Didn't Sam Langford fight heavyweights?
Never won a heavyweight championship.
No, but he fought heavyweights at those weights. I think
he got knocked out in Chelsea, Massachusetts by Jack Johnson.
Bob Fitzsimmons.
Yes, I fought for the title, the heavyweight championship. I weighed 162 that night against Jack Sharkey, who was then heavyweight champion. He weighed 198.
1931.
Well, that August. Was my old man. I'm the young one.
No wonder they called you the Bulldog, Mickey, for getting in there against him.
We shouldn't help them.
Oh, that's right. Don't do that. All right. The third part of the question. If a fighter holds the middleweight championship and consents to make a weight below the class limit for an opponent, does he lose his middleweight championship?
If he's fighting for the title?
Yes.
Yes, oh yes, he'd lose it.
No, absolutely not. If he's the middleweight champion and he's fighting for the welterweight championship, he does not lose the middleweight championship.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Absolutely not.
I'm sorry, on that. I thought defending his title, if he was defending the middleweight title.
That is because Sergeant Allen gobbles his sentences.
Oh, no.
One more crack out of you, and we'll garble you, Mr. Adams.
That's Noel Adams.
Noel Adams. Now, that's right. He doesn't lose his championship. That's called a handicap match. The champion has the right to scale up to 160 pounds, the class limit, if he's forced to make less weight. My understanding is that then the title is not at stake. 6 points for the team of Adams and Walker. In fact, we can't put any of you gentlemen down here. Back to Ham Fisher and Tony Galanto now, and a question about Dusty Pants and the prize ring. Since Joe Louis turned professional, there have been very few opponents who were able to score knockdowns over him. Sergeant Daniel Kennedy, in the Mediterranean Theater of Operations, feels that you gentlemen should remember the names of at least four opponents. I think perhaps there are only four opponents who have ever knocked Joe Louis down. For 8 points now, who are those four?
Buddy Bear knocked him down in Washington.
That's right.
Max Smelly. Max Smelly.
No, had bums in
it. I don't like to.
The first fight at the Yankee Stadium in 36.
I believe some bum named Galanto. Let's see, that's three, isn't it?
That's right. Tony Galanto did it.
Tony Galanto, Schmeling.
Buddy Bear. And one other.
Who was it? Joe Palooka knocked him down?
Yeah. Wait a moment. Oh, my goodness. This counts against us. I know.
You got 6 points now and one more.
That big Abe Simon knocked him down.
No, he didn't.
No, it wasn't Abe Simon
didn't knock him down. I'm trying to think. Did the Welshman, Tommy Farr, knock him down? No.
Braddock knocked him down. Braddock.
Jimmy Braddock. That's right. They finally got it. Good. There are 8 points.
He was not champion then. He wasn't champion when Braddock... Jimmy,
didn't ask for a champion.
Louis was not champion when... That was in the first round in Chicago in 37, June 22nd. It was about 10-2.
You're taking up our time.
That was Central Time, not Eastern Time.
Mr. Adams, the question was that since Joe Louis turned professional, not since he's been
I'm
champion.
I'm very sorry.
That's perfectly all right. Well, now, gentlemen, we have approximately 2 minutes remaining, and at this point... We find the score 25-23 in favor of the team of Galanto and Fisher against Adams and Walker. You can't quit just yet, though.
You can leave if you want.
We move over to the team of Adams and Walker. Gentlemen, can you tell me very quickly the names of the boxers holding the championship in the following divisions for 7 points? Very quickly. In other words, if I said flyweight, you'd say Jackie Patterson. All right, bantamweight.
Of England, yes, that's right.
Bantamweight.
Oh, some bum named Ortiz.
That's right,
Mexico.
Featherweight.
Featherweight, well, you got Chalky Wright. There's so many guys to claim that thing.
Well, Willie Pep or
Willie
Sal
Pep,
Bartolo.
He was in the Navy and in again, out again.
Williams, Ike Williams.
All right, lightweight.
Lightweight? Well, we'll have to think about that. Come back to that.
All right, welterweight.
Freddie Cochran. Right.
Freddie Cochran, the great champion. He's getting out.
Middleweight.
Billy Sues?
No,
not Billy
Sues. Light heavyweight.
Zale, Tony Zale. No, that Tony Zale's middleweight.
That's right, light heavyweight.
Less
than a bit. Right, and heavyweight.
That'll be a fellow named Lewis.
All right, and we go back to the one you didn't get.
The lightweights?
The lightweight.
Oh, my. Mickey, you got any idea of lightweights?
I stuck there myself.
It can't be Canzanari.
Well, we ring the bell on you. Do you know who the lightweight champion is? Current lightweight champion. The two versions of it, very quickly.
I can't tell you to say that.
Well, we give the team of Adams and Walker 6 points.
Why don't we give him...
Quickly, Mr. Glanto.
Not Judy Allen.
He's sweating.
He did one out in June in the stadium, too.
Very quickly now.
Kid from out on the coast.
Well, sorry.
No, the kid from Philadelphia. Montgomery. Bob Montgomery.
Bob Montgomery, that's right. 1 point. Extra point. All right.
I thought you was a newspaper.
All right, now the team of Fisher and Galanto, gentlemen, I'm going to name some cities for you in the United States in which the heavyweight championship has changed hands for 5 points very quickly. I'll name the city. You tell me the title fight that took place there. Chicago.
Braddock.
All right, Lewis beat Braddock. Philadelphia.
Tunney Dempsey.
Tunney beat Dempsey. Toledo.
Willard Dempsey.
That's right. Dempsey beat Willard. Coney Island.
Coney Island was... Bob Fitzsimmons and Jim Corbett. Jim Jeffries.
All right, and Carson City, Nevada.
Jim Jeffries beat Johnson.
No.
Wait a minute. Jim Jeffries at Carson City beat Bob Fitzsimmons.
Well, that's only partly right. Well, I'll have to ring the bell on you.
It was the... You have to ring it? All right.
I'll have to ring the bell on you and give it to
Fitz beat Corbett.
Fitz beat Corbett, that's right. And so it's four
well,
points
couldn't
now
I answer
for
that question?
Fitzgerald.
I know the question.
And they had one point for
hey, I know the question.
Adams and Walker.
I knew the question, too. I could answer it when you let me answer it.
Well, you get plenty of time, Mr. Glendale. All right. Here we go now with
well,
60 seconds left.
Nobody.
60 seconds left for the final bell. The score is tied at 30-30, gentlemen. And now I'm going to give you the name of the sports personality, a nickname, rather. You tell me the sports personality to which this nickname refers. I'll give one to each team alternately. You're tied up the last round, and so come out with a whirlwind finish. You've got exactly 60 seconds. Fighting Marine, Mickey Walker and Cass Adams. Who is it? The Fighting Marine.
Barney Ross.
Oh, I have to ring the bell on you. Who's the Fighting Marine?
Gene Tunney.
Gene Tunney, a point then for Fisher and Galanto. Cinderella Man.
Braddock. George Carpentier.
Braddock. That's right, Mr. Oh. Galanto. Coming back over here, Babyface.
McLarnon,
that's right. Hard Rock from Down Under.
Tom Heaney.
Right. The Pottawatomie Giant.
Willard,
right. The yeah. Nebraska Wildcat.
Ace Hutkins.
Right. The Pittsburgh Windmill.
Harry Grant.
Right. The Basque Wood Chopper.
Colleen Wiskadon.
That's right. The Herkimer Hurricane.
Amber.
That's right. And finally, the Newark Nightstick.
My, I galant.
Well, that's the final whistle, gentlemen. The fight's over, and stand by for the final score. The final score, the team of Tony Galanto and Ham Fisher defeat the team of Cass Adams and Mickey Walker, 36-34.
I'll murder the bum.
It's a wonderful fight, gentlemen. You really murdered those questions. And thank you very much, Mickey Walker, Cass Adams, Ham Fisher, and Tony Galanto. On the basis of a swell performance this time, I'm sure the fans and service will call for a rematch again real soon. Until next week, this is Sergeant Mel Allen saying to everybody, everywhere, so long and good luck.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.